to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right. Good to have you all listening tonight. And it's, as always, it's wonderful to be right here in the studio. I'm Mama Mac, along with my co-host, the famous Dr. Angel Falzone. How are you tonight, Dr. Angel?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Good, good. I tell you, we love doing these shows, don't we? Almost four-year anniversary pretty soon.
I know.
Can you believe that?
Time sure flies.
Time's flying by. This is a life coaching show. Would you like to explain that to our audience, what that even means?
Well, we're talking about a show that helps you learn how to live life and live it well.
There you go.
You know, we all hit bumps and bruises in life, and maybe we're just not where we want to be. And
absolutely,
this is that show to fill in those gaps.
Because every day we have issues going on in our lives. Every season, which is what we're talking about in this series right now, the seasons of our lives and what that means. Those seasons change, don't they?
They are constantly changing, and it almost feels like just as you figure out one season, you're walking into another one.
Right. We've been calling this series Navigating Change in the Seasons of Our Lives, and really this is part three of that series. If you've missed any of them, go back and listen right here on podcast at www.tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcasts and go to Go Yard, which is the name of the show, which means what? Why do we name our show that?
It is a baseball term for hitting a home run.
Hitting a home run in life. So our goal is to make the most of those things that come at us. I watch a lot of baseball, and I know you love baseball too. And you know, as the pitcher is so important, because the pitcher is throwing things to try to mess up the batter, right?
Oh, yeah.
To get the batter not to hit a home run. And so can you use that metaphor for life, what happens to all of us?
You know, that really does happen to all of us, because life throws things at us all the time that interfere with our ability to hit a home run or
exactly.
Make it more challenging for us. And so we need, just like a batter would need to constantly make those adjustments,
right.
And, you know, practice different types of swings for different circumstances. We do too.
Right.
You know, we can't just have this one way of handling life for it to work for everything. It won't.
Because as we go through life, we change. And I want you to talk about that a little bit, because when we talk about the seasons of our lives, would you explain to our audience what we're talking about there and what those seasons give us, some examples maybe?
Sure. You know, the seasons of our lives are the parts of our lives that happen naturally. They occur through just life and that are changing. And maybe we're in a season that we're single, or maybe we're moving into getting married, or maybe our children are becoming teenagers. That's a season. Or maybe they're leaving the home, or maybe we're having children.
Right.
Or maybe we're taking care of our parents, or maybe we're getting divorced, or maybe we're having grandchildren.
Right. And all these are periods of time, like the seasons. Like in Florida, we don't have a lot of big seasons, but we have at least two.
Hot and hotter.
Yeah. Yeah. But we have those cooler weather, you know, around Thanksgiving, Christmas, January. It gets a little cooler, but in the up north, you can really see the seasons distinctively, can't
yes,
you?
Absolutely.
Summer, winter, spring, and fall. You can tell that. And in the seasons of our lives, sometimes it feels like things just overlap a little bit.
Oh, they absolutely
like
can.
Like Florida's weather.
Yes, yes, yes. And they can overlap. So you might be moving into a new season of maybe you're, you know, empty nesting, and maybe you have to have a career change, or maybe you have to have a move now, or maybe you need to, you know, so sometimes we're not in just one season. We have them kind of coming through many.
Well, and we can have two or three major things going on at once. Perhaps a new baby, perhaps a new job at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you've just moved to a new city. All of those are different seasons, really, in your life. Especially if it's your first baby, I mean, that really changes you. Remember that? I remember that.
Yes, I do.
And how life really takes on different priorities, dimensions, flexibility, all that. All the above.
It sure does. And, you know, naming, especially like the three things you named, those would be positive things. Most people be like, this is exciting. We're starting our family. We're, you know, have a new career. We have a new house. Like, we're establishing ourselves. But doesn't mean it's not challenging. It doesn't mean there's not going to be stress and things you have to deal with.
And really, it means that you are going to have stress.
Yes, change always brings
change
stress.
Change does. And how we handle change is what this series has been all about. So we refer you back to the other two shows in the series over the last couple of weeks, and it'll help you understand some of that. And a lot of the things we talked about, just in brief, we talked about creating a new normal is created. Not necessarily that we did it in our own free will, but if you're having a new baby, handling a baby and making sure that you've got the car seat in place and you've got the stroller and everything as you go, you don't leave the house without preparations, right?
Which becomes a new normal. And
it does.
I think that's one of the areas a lot of people really struggle with when they have these season changes, because they wanted things the way they were.
Right.
They got comfortable there.
Sure.
And they're looking back and they're missing that comfortability. And instead of accepting that we can have a normal, it's just going to be a new normal, we have to prepare to
right.
to leave, right? We just can't go on date nights without finding a sitter, or, you know,
exactly.
we lost some of that freedom, but we're gaining, you know, we have a family and there's things we gain. We tend to just focus on all the stuff we lost.
You know, that's a very good point, because that's where stress comes in.
Mm-hmm.
When people say, this is overwhelming for me, I didn't know it was going to be this hard to have a baby, I didn't know that my life would change this much, and all of that. But the truth is, it does.
Yes, it does.
And as you grow older and you go through other changes, let's say that you have a parent that has to move in.
Mm-hmm.
That totally changes your life, doesn't
it? Yes,
it
does. In much of the same way having a child. Well, you know, you have to make more preparations. Having
right.
another adult in the home, you know, one that has had the authority over you, like, it changes dynamics completely.
Well, it, a lot of times it changes food habits. It
mm-hmm.
changes, you know,
free time,
yes,
what you're doing.
All those things. And it can be very stressful. I think that what I heard us saying in the last 2 weeks over and over again was, yes, we acknowledge that life's seasons and changes are going to bring stress, but we've got to learn to cope with that and expect it. Expect the stress. It's going to be a part of it.
Absolutely. You know, and there are some changes that are just predictable. Like, they just happen as we age and grow. And there are some that we choose to have happen. And then there's some that just happen to us that we don't choose. And, you know, learning to accept it, we can go in, we're having changes, or we're having seasons. There is no way you're going to live and not experience
right.
it.
Sure.
You can go in kicking and screaming and
right.
not happy and miserable, or you can kind of go in and take the challenge and learn to make a new normal and learn how to let it make you a better person.
Well, you mentioned one of those changes a minute ago that I want to go back to, and that's divorce.
Okay.
Because a lot of times divorce happens to us.
Yes.
Not necessarily we be the one that originates that divorce or wants it. And for the person out there that perhaps has found themselves having to go through divorce, or even the person that says, I want this.
Yes.
It is still very life-changing and produces a lot of stuff going on the inside of us that may be hard to handle.
Absolutely. You know, with that comes fear.
Oh, yeah.
Because what's the future going to look like? All
sure.
these unknowns. With that comes a lot of loss. I mean,
right.
most people don't walk into that marriage thinking, oh, well, we'll just get divorced if I don't like them. Like, they think this is a, you know, a lifelong
oh,
commitment.
Absolutely.
And so that's a loss of a dream.
Right.
You know, your family's going to be different. What are people going to think of you? Like, there's so many dynamics, and there's some shame that might be associated with it. You might lose friends and supports
right.
that you once had, because they kind of divide and pick sides.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes. And so, yeah, and it, even if you're the one initiating, it may, this was probably not your plan.
Right.
And there's a lot that comes with that. And it's a challenging season.
Well, in all of these things, seasons of our lives, I think the reason we wanted to do a series like this is because we all experience this.
Yes, everyone.
This is a topic that cuts across all age groups.
Socioeconomic,
there you go.
Race,
that's
culture.
That's the word I wanted. Yeah, all that. And it does. And so because of that, we can all relate
Absolutely.
In some way. And because change is inevitable, and because we all are programmed to not like it because it seems safer to
mm-hmm.
stay in our old ways of behaving, right?
Absolutely.
And fear. You just mentioned that word. I think that's one of the biggest emotions that affect people as they go through change. Fear.
And well, change really elicits it because we're walking into an unknown.
Right.
And we're walking into things that are different, and we might not be as prepared or feel like we're not prepared to handle it. And so it can be very fear-inducing.
Oh, yeah.
I have a friend right now, and her daughter is in that adult transition, just got engaged, and they're looking for their first home together.
Sure.
And the stress and the anxiety that's creating of learning how to be a real adult has been overwhelming for her.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a big change. You know, now you're leaving the comfort of mom and dad paying the bills to, I have to figure out how this works.
Exactly.
And so, with good changes, any change always is going to have some anxiety. Definitely there's fears involved. Even if we don't act in our fear, we mm-hmm. still feel it.
We do feel it because it affects us. It affects our lives in so many dimensions, don't you think?
Yes, it really does. And, you know, in those seasons of change, sometimes we're not using our support systems when we're going through the seasons
of change.
What's
a support system? Would you define that for our audience?
Sure.
I was going to go there. I'm glad you brought that up.
Our support systems are those people that we can count on, those people that we trust, those people that we share our thoughts and our feelings and our dreams and our plans and that are there when we need them.
But what if that person for let's say some of our audience members, has been your spouse? And that person is actually exiting the marriage, or you're exiting the marriage because of all kinds of issues, and then you find yourself without your main support system.
Yeah, that's very
hard. That person was who you put all the eggs in one basket, because I think a lot of people do that. Dr. Angel, I've seen it. When people get married, they change. They don't have time for their friends a lot of times.
They do.
They have less time to you know, do other things, and you know,
especially women are very prone to this.
They are. Oh my gosh, they are.
And they go through, and now they're like, oh my gosh, like I'm doing this on my own. And in some way, they are doing it on their own. They need to build a new support system.
Right.
And that can be scary. So how do you go out and make a friend, and then a friend you can trust, or someone that can, you know, walk with you through what you're going through, so you're not doing it, you know, all by yourself?
Well, a couple pointers there.
When you
are hanging out with people, maybe people you've known all your life, but if you begin to sense that they are very critical of your life change that's going on right now, or they are trying to tell you constantly how to navigate everything and aren't listening to you, isn't that a red flag?
That's a huge red flag. Your support system is there to support you. They're not there to tell you what to do or control you,
right,
or to put pressures and extra stress on you. And if that's what you're feeling, you don't have a support system.
No.
And so we don't want to feel that way. Our support system should be giving us the freedom to figure this out in the way we need to figure it out.
Absolutely.
Advising us and understanding that it's a process for us. And so we need to have that. And talking about support systems, they change as we go through seasons of life. So the people we start out with usually aren't the same people that we end up with.
Oh my gosh, how true is that? I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago that most of the people I graduated from high school with, I don't know anymore. I mean, you know, I haven't kept contact all these years. And that happens to a lot of us, that our support system becomes maybe your next door neighbor that now is your buddy and your friend, because you see him all the time.
Right. Proximity. You know,
proximity,
sometimes people come
important.
Into our lives for certain reasons. We work with them, or they live close to us,
right,
or our kids are sharing commonality. And, you know, as seasons change, we may grow apart from some of those supports. And that's a loss that we experience as we go through seasons, and that's a hard loss for a lot of people. They expect, you know, well, we're, you know, BFFs. I hear this term a lot, best friends, you know, forever. But that's a person that's really not there for the ever.
No.
You know, they're there for a season.
So let's talk about that, because people are in our lives, and we've all heard this, I'm sure, for a reason, a season, a lifetime.
Yes.
I want you to talk about that, because there's so many different categories in our lives, whether there be relatives or coworkers or friends from high school or college, or go on.
Absolutely. So sometimes we have people, they become our support network or they confidants or close friends, and they're there for a reason. Maybe that reason is, you know, whatever, you're going through an illness or a sickness and they're kind of there through that moment with you. Sometimes they're there for, like, while your kids are growing up and you have this relationship because your kids are doing all the same things or you're attending the same church or you're in something for a season of your life.
Right.
Which means when you go to the next season, they're not coming with you.
But a lot of people try to drive them along.
Oh, yes, they do.
Okay, why is that, doctor? And give us an example. Can you think of one?
Oh, sure. A big example might be a lot of times when people attend a church, they become very close with people they attend church. And maybe they're going through a divorce.
Right.
And their church has a negative feeling. Maybe they're feeling judged at their church and they want to change churches.
Right.
That support system is
probably gone.
Gone, usually. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, once you leave, that's a different season. And so I think what happens is we feel like, oh my gosh, my whole life is changing and now my supports are changing. That's a lot of change one time. The good thing is we do have life people that are there with us through every season of our life.
Like your mama.
Yeah, true.
And some people don't even have their parents.
True.
Though, right.
Very
because
true.
There's bad situations there
yes,
in their life.
Yes, very true. And, you know, there are those people that are just there with us. Maybe it's a sibling that, you know, is there with you or a family member, or maybe you just have that lifelong friend. You're blessed to have that one that just carries you with
That's unusual,
life.
Isn't it, Doctor?
It very much is.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Well, because we change. Every season changes us.
Mm-hmm.
And we grow.
Mm-hmm.
We should be growing. If you're not growing, there's a problem. There's a flag.
Okay, wait. Stop right there. How do you know if you're growing and if you're not growing?
Well,
and
look,
what does that mean to grow?
Oh, you're really going deep today.
I know,
it's
but
okay.
I think this is very important. Really?
No, it is. We're growing. When you can look back and say, who I am today is a little different than what I was last year or and 5 years ago.
Sure.
You know, what's important to us when we're 20, for an example,
oh,
what
my
we
gosh.
Like, what we need, the person we want in our life, should not be the same attributes of when we're 30, 40, you know, as we go through life, we should be developing.
Right.
You know, and if
changing.
We're not
emotionally, mentally.
Yes. Growing, emerging, and becoming is what I call that.
Oh. I think you need to go back over those right there. Growing what? Say it again.
Growing, emerging, and becoming.
I like that.
And
growing, emerging, and becoming. Okay.
What our seasons of life should be doing to us. And
all right.
You know, maybe even our moral code might change as we mature. You know, a lot of times people might be really rigid when they're younger, more black and white. And as they kind of age, they kind of realize maybe there are some exceptions or gray areas and we become maybe more flexible.
Sure.
A lot of those things kind of change as life happens to us.
Right.
I mean, I know people who were like so rigid on like, oh, divorce is bad, divorce is bad, divorce is bad. And then they get in a bad marriage and it's happening to them.
Right.
And they realize, wait a minute.
I can't live like this.
Right, exactly. And so now they're forced to kind of change some of their own moral code as they're facing a season. And that happens to a lot of us.
And it also, for the ones who have great support systems in their life, who don't see the need for you to change that, let's say, because I had some good friends, I will just admit this. When I went through divorce, I was like, did not expect it, didn't plan on it when I got married, let's say it that way, and never thought I would be in that position at that point in my life with three little children. But, you know, some of those people that I'd been so close to continued on with their rigidity, let's say, about divorce. And I can remember people running into them in the grocery and them turning around their cart at the other end of the aisle and walking the other way to avoid talking to me. I mean, that kind of, that's rejection. I mean, that's like, whoa, don't you know it's hard enough to go through what I'm going through, let alone for you not even to speak to me and pretend to be nice, you know?
And those are experiences a lot of people have, and they're hurtful. And
yes.
They cut deep, because these are people I respect and people I've trusted and people that I've known intimately or we've shared parts of life, and now they won't even say hi in a public place. Like, that is hard.
Oh, it's very hard. So to the listener that's going through something like that or has recently, what do you say? How do you deal with it?
Well, you know, it's challenging to deal with it. There's some really good things. First of all, it's not about you. It's about them. You
explain
know where they
that.
Are.
Explain
they,
that.
they are in their own process of growing, emerging, and becoming. And so, okay. you know, as we grow, our eyes kind of get opened and we see things differently.
We do.
And they're just not at that point in their life yet. And so they haven't had their eyes open quite the same way as we have. And so, you know, trying to have that understanding is hard, but right. it's helpful because it's really not about you. It's about their journey of growing and becoming and learning to make those connections with people who are on the same you're at.
So sometimes it's good to just recognize, okay, obviously that relationship is maybe not ever going to go on. Maybe that's the end of that relationship,
maybe
whatever
it is.
Maybe it's
just a break.
Or maybe it's a break or whatever. But to take it with, to accept that change with grace, if you know what I mean, what does that mean?
Well, when we accept it with grace is we're not personalizing it.
Right.
And we're kind of giving those people the freedom to be on their journey while we're on their journey. So we're not using it to condemn ourselves.
Right.
We're not taking it personally. We're just accepting it mm-hmm. and doing what we can do. Like, maybe I need to join a support group of people going through divorce because maybe I don't know where to get, you know, a support system from. And there are lots of great support groups, and they're usually free to go to. And that can be a great place
right.
If you're going through an illness or a divorce or issues with parenting. Like, there's so many support groups these days.
Right.
If you're having your adult parents move in your home, there's a support group for that. Having your adult children move in your home, there's support groups for that. So
all of which are good.
They are good because now right. you're kind of put in a situation with people who are all in that season mm-hmm. with you. Mm-hmm. And that can be very comforting because they get it. You know, when people are there,
yes.
they can get it more when they haven't been there.
Oh, absolutely. And because of that, it's a matter of when change, when life happens and we are in the midst of change, what we do, how we react, how we respond. Talk to me about the differences between reacting and responding.
Absolutely. So when we react to something, that's just an impulse. It's just something, you know, triggers us. We do something in the thought. We're not thinking about it. We're not planning for it. We're just reacting. And typically those get us in a lot of trouble or they're not the way we want to handle that situation. And so.
But do a lot of people respond that way?
A lot of people react. Yes. Reaction
okay.
is very common. Instead of stepping back a second and doing responding. Responding is when we can separate ourselves from that situation and really think about this critically, looking at, you know, the positives and negatives, where's my part in this, kind of critically analyzing it and then going ahead and making those words or those behaviors that you need to make to get through the situation. Reacting happens all the time. You know, kid does something, the parents start screaming, that's a reaction.
Right.
And that's very frustrating, you know, and it creates chaos when we react.
Let's use that example because
okay.
3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, they tend to be, they create a lot of stress in a home, right?
Oh, yes.
Right. And I used to think it was the terrible 2s. I don't. I think it's the terrible 3s and from my personal experience with some grandkids. But I mean, honestly, that's just part of their development mm-hmm. and how we respond to their crisis, let's say, or their behavioral,
tantrums, or whatever happening.
It is they're going on. How we respond will really directly affect how they, even as they progress in their lives, treat their own kids.
Absolutely.
If your mom is always screaming at you and always. Was reacting and without saying, okay, wait a minute, let's sit down here and see how this argument began. But if it's just scream, 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 I'm getting the paddle, I'm wait till your dad gets home and screaming at the top of their lungs, you know, doesn't that have an effect?
It absolutely does. And what you're teaching, you know, we teach our kids what we do, not what we say. So
right.
we're teaching
oh,
them
my gosh, yes.
to react.
Sure we are.
And when they have life stress.
Right.
And so we kind of create these cycles of reactions. And it's hard to break that cycle. And it takes intentionality and some critical thinking. So, you know, instead of finding yourself, you're that mom that just goes into the screaming match when you're feeling stressed. And you're going to feel stressed. stop for a second, catch yourself, zip it. A lot of times we say things we never mean.
Oh, yeah, we don't. Words cut deep. Kids learn what is meant and what is not.
Oh, yes.
You're going to be grounded for, 5 weeks, And the kid is laughing like, yeah, really, if I get grounded at all, it might be for a day,
Exactly.
Because they know from all these blow-ups or these interactions that the parent doesn't follow through and doesn't really respond in a healthy way, instead just reacts, right?
Right, and yes, absolutely. And so we become less effective when we do that, especially in parenting. And so when we can step back and go, okay, yes, my child is doing this, so what can we do? What's going on? Is there something that's triggering this behavior? Is there a pattern to this? Is there something that they need? Like maybe they're hungry or they haven't had enough sleep or, there can be things that we can do to kind of help minimize that. That's responding to that and working through in a healthy way. So we're teaching critical thinking. We're teaching problem-solving skills. Those are really good lifelong skills to have in just that one moment.
But so many people have been raised in homes where there was just simply off the chain reacting, screaming, threatening, unrealistic punishment that didn't meet the crime. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And here's the thing with that, when I hear that, and people use it a lot as their crutch to stay in the pattern. And you can learn to do it different. It doesn't matter what you've experienced.
Exactly.
You can learn to do it different if you want to.
Yeah. And partly, that's one reason we do this show, is to give people ideas and to also help them understand there's ways to handle tantrums. There's ways to handle life changes, whatever it might be. And let's just take it to the other generation before we go to break here. So let's say that you've been used to having your family and everything run the way you want to, and in moves mom and dad, or one of them. And suddenly the whole dynamic shifts because everybody's tiptoeing around. Let's say one of them, or the one that moves in, is always telling everybody what to do. Doesn't that change the total dynamic of a home?
Absolutely change the total dynamic of a home.
Right.
And it can be very difficult to maneuver that season of life.
Right.
Because there's a lot of things going on at one time.
Right.
And when we react, we're usually making that so much worse.
Right.
Instead of critically thinking about that situation and what can we do? How can we navigate this so that we don't have this chaos happening?
Well, I hear the word time. It takes time.
It does take time.
You can't, because reaction a lot of time is split second.
Split second.
And it's what they've maybe learned growing up. This is the way mom always handled us when we were screaming and fighting and pinching and biting. And so I'm going to do the same thing instead of sitting down and go, do I really want to raise my kids the way I was raised? Because that wasn't very fun.
Absolutely.
Even effective,
And when you're parenting, especially, it's really important to think back and remember your own experiences as a child. Not to cast blame, but just how it feels as a kid when you have a parent reacting, or you feel like you're being overly punished for something maybe you didn't do, or you did do, or that your sibling did. Like, trying to keep touch with what that feels like helps you to be a better parent now.
Oh, I like that. That's a good point to go to break on. Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds, and then a couple of commercials, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my Independent Ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
A time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to read. To everything, turn, turn.
All right, love that song, and it just fits. We used it last week because it just fits what we're talking about right now. If you just happen to join us on Go Yard tonight, I'm Mama Mac along with Dr. Angel, and we are talking about really navigating the changes in the seasons of our lives, because we want to be successful at this thing called life. We don't want to be looking back with regrets for years to come because we cut off some relationship at the knees or something like that. And that happens, Dr. Angel. There's so many times when we're going through stressful changes, new seasons, things are happening, and we either we just say the wrong things, or we cut people out of our lives, or we don't react.
Or we try to hang on to them too long.
Oh, now there you go. Why is that so important? Some people would say, well, shouldn't we just hang on to every relationship?
No. I'm going to say no. Absolutely
usually
not.
Usually you say something like could be.
I know.
But you're giving an emphatic no to that question.
Not every relationship. And, you know, we kind of touched on it before the break. Not every relationship is meant to be there in the long haul. And so forcing something that's not meant to be is not okay either.
Right.
Our relationships need to have freedom. And if what I want, need, and desire, it happens to be different from this relationship is now, it's okay to change the dynamic. Does it mean you cut the person off? Sometimes. Does it mean that maybe you take a step back? Maybe, you know, you see them less frequent. They're not as involved in any kind of interim between, you know, all of that. But keeping what's not working is just a recipe for misery.
And don't you think a lot of people have been in that situation over and over again? Maybe it's the old friend from sixth grade, you know, that you've always been there for each other. And then you're going through the divorce, like we mentioned earlier, as an example. And then suddenly that friend is extremely critical and trying to tell you what to do and getting all up in your business.
Right. And that's not what you need in that moment. And so that's when you got to learn to take those step backs. You got to learn to recognize those flags and those supports. When supports are no longer supports, then we need to kind of rearrange their priority in our life.
Right.
Because when you're in seasons, you do need a good support system that helps you.
I'm glad you brought us back to that point.
It successfully. We can't do this on our own.
Well, let's talk about the different kind of support systems that we can have, or we can look for, or we can create, right?
Yes.
So talk about that.
So the different, you know, support systems, and they don't have to be a lot of people, you know, and I think there's this belief that, oh, if I have a lot of friends, then I have a good support system, you know. No. Numbers is not. It's about the quality of the people. You can have two or three quality people, and you have a great support system. So do they hear you?
Mm-hmm.
Do they offer counsel and advice when you ask, or are they just ready to give it to you all the time?
Right.
Do they let you make the decisions you need to make and kind of support you through that decision? Those are what we want in a support. That's support.
Right.
When you need them, are they there? Are they available? That does not mean they have to be at your beck and call 24/7, within, you know, a day will they call you back or answer your text. Those people that are waiting 4 and 5 days are not going to be a good support person because they're not in that moment. And so are they trustworthy? Do they keep your confidence? Those are really important attributes. So when we have people not in that realm, they aren't really our support.
Well, there's got to be a basic understanding of what you expect out of that person. When you were saying that, I was thinking about baseball, because of course I think about baseball a lot. And on a baseball team, whether it's Little League or if it's the majors or wherever, there's the people that are starting that game, and then there's people on the bench. Okay. Now, the bench are not people that were, you know, grabbed off the street. You want to come sit on this bench. No, these are people who have, you know, some understanding of what's going on in the game, and that can be put in your place.
Yes.
Or can give you, hey, why don't you try this on your stance? Get your elbow up, or you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And I think that our bench, you know, so to speak, in our lives needs to be people who are not picking at you constantly, nitpicking. People that will, you know, go right in there and help you when you need it.
Yeah, critical people do not make for
that's,
a support
I guess
system.
That's the point I'm trying to say. You know, the bench on a baseball team, a Major League Baseball team, they're not sitting there ready to, when the guy comes down and just struck out, they rush to him, you should have done this, or you should have done that. They're not doing that.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're not. And I think a lot of times we have people doing that to us, and we feel
yes.
like that's our support.
Right.
No.
That's not support.
That's not support. Support is those people who are actually there supporting and helping us to stay strong and to be strong.
Right.
And so anything that's taking from our strength is not really support. Does that mean they're going to tell us everything we want to hear? No.
No.
Sometimes we need to hear the hard message of something we might need to work on or look at differently. But support is there for our benefit
right.
and our strength. And does that mean you can't have any people in your life that are critical or whatever? No. It just means they don't get to know those intimate details.
Oh, there you go. I was just getting ready to say, how do you know when you need to not talk to somebody on your bench about what's going on? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know when they aren't really your support, when you're feeling like, okay, when I'm with this person, I don't feel stronger. Mm-hmm. I maybe feel beat down, or maybe
right.
I feel whatever. Maybe I don't feel like I have my power. They can stay in your life, but you don't need to tell them everything
every
that's
detail.
Going on.
Right.
You know, you kind of give them more generalizations about things going on. Those people you share the intimate details of what's going on in your season should be your support.
And you should be able to trust that they're not going to just pick you apart. They may have some
right.
helpful suggestions, but don't you think it's all in the attitude of the
yes.
support person?
Oh, yes.
I've known so many know-it-alls in my life. You know what I mean by a know-it-all?
Oh, yes.
And they weren't walking in my shoes or my moccasins, you know? And yet they thought they were, or they really wanted to tell me where I was wrong and how mm-hmm.
You know, this world is full of people who are willing to give you advice to live your life, and they can't live their own. It's funny because their life is a hot mess and nobody would want it. And so one of the things I like to look for in people for my support are people I respect, that I look at them and I'm like, that's the kind of person I want to be, or that's the kind
sure.
of life I want to have.
Right.
Because they got there. They know how they got there. And so that's kind of a great place to start.
Right.
And so if you don't have those people around you, you can find them. Like I said, some support groups can be really, really helpful in that. There's a general, you know, confidentiality about support groups.
And it's better, a safe place to talk.
It
usually.
Is safe. They know.
But the person who's listening right now and says, if I don't tell my mother, let's say, every detail about what's going on in our marriage, she gets really mad and she wants to hear and she picks at me and prods at me. I've known people like that.
Oh, I'm sure you have, because that's not uncommon. But that's not healthy either. And so just learning to kind of boundaries back in
right.
some of our relationships is really important.
Oh, there you go. Boundaries. We've done all that, haven't we?
Especially during those seasons
yes,
of change.
Yes, boundary setting. So important in the seasons of change. Why?
Well, because first of all, seasons of change kind of change those boundaries for us as we are navigating new waters. Things are changing in our life. And so we might have new relationships, new circumstances, new things happening. And we need to evaluate our boundaries and kind of, are they working?
Right.
Should they change, kind of thing? But that's the one thing that we have that kind of is more constant is
right.
our boundaries.
Is our boundaries, yes. And so when maybe a listener has somebody like that in their life, a relative, friend, or whatever, who just has to comment on everything, every detail, and wants to know all those details too, those kind of people are red flags to me. And have been through my life.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
because that's dangerous. What are they going to do with that information?
When some people can do very a lot mean, of damage. Hurtful things. Oh,
yeah, they can. Yes. I've known people that have done that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes. And, you know, they tell everybody, make up, add stuff to it. You know, you become the gossip talk of the town or whatever, of the church, wherever you're at. And so, no, we don't want that. We don't need that extra stress.
Okay, let me throw another one at you. I've known people, and I'm one of them, that has put a lot of trust in let's say, a friend, and said, really emptied my feelings out mm-hmm. about a certain thing, only to maybe a few months later or a year later have that person throw it up in my face. You handled this wrong. You handled that wrong. They didn't dare say it to me at the time, but it's like they were keeping score somewhere on a little pad, and then the nasty comes out at some point with how they really felt about, oh, yeah, at the time, yes, I understand, I'm praying for you, yeah, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. But it was fake.
Yes. And so how did you handle it?
I will tell you, and I'm going to ask your opinion on this because you're the resident expert. If y'all don't know, Dr. Angel's PhD, licensed mental health counselor, has a lot of counselors that work with her, under her, all of that. I was extremely blown away by a couple friends a few years back that I really would just let my hair down with. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how this made me feel, or I was hurt by this, or whatever. Or and when it did come back and blow back at me, like a couple years later, my motives were questioned, my integrity was questioned, all kinds of things in a very nasty letter, okay, that I'll, of course, okay. I let go, but I mean, I didn't respond.
Okay.
You ask how I reacted? I was hurt. Mm-hmm. I was angry when I read it. Mm-hmm. But I also thought, okay, you never really knew me. Right. And you really don't know my heart. And really, how dare you write mm-hmm. something like that? That is so not what was going on at the time.
And did you keep those people in your life?
No, I did not.
Okay. And so, unfortunately, like the situation you describe is not uncommon. Happens, you know, sometimes people present very honest and trustworthy and like they're there and empathetic, and then something changes, they don't get their way, whatever happens, and then they exploit you and betray your trust and turn it on you. And we never know who's going to do that and when that's going to happen. And when it does, it's painful and hurtful.
Especially if it's a surprise.
Usually it is a surprise.
Why is that? I mean, why is that?
We don't usually see those coming. Those are like when you feel like you're sucker punched.
Okay. Yeah.
And
that's what this was for me. It's absolutely. Been a few years back, but it was a huge punch to the gut.
It is. It is a very big one.
And I didn't see it coming. I knew there was resentment building. I could feel that and whatever, but I did not know the detail. The depth of what was happening.
It's really important that we keep our heart open, mm-hmm. even when that happens.
And forgive.
We do need to forgive. And because we're going to hang on to toxic. Yes, it is a process. Not only forgive, but learn to still continue to trust. Mm-hmm. Might need some healing time. Definitely will need some healing time. I have a little tattoo on my ankle of our two hearts. They're interconnected and they're open. And that's to remind me to stay connected and keep my heart open, because when you get hurt, it's easy to want to close off, wall off, and that's it. I'm never going to get that vulnerable with anybody ever again. And that's not life. Like, we need to be vulnerable.
Yeah, but that doesn't also mean that we should be that vulnerable with that person that did that, or those people who reacted that way, right?
I would never give, you know, if I decide to keep in my life, would never have a level of trust more than what I would tell anybody in my world, you know, and we need to be guarded with that trust.
Right.
I think unguarded trust is a painful thing, and it's pain waiting to happen.
Unguarded trust.
And that's when we just, you know, some people you meet and they'll tell you every little intimate detail, like they don't know you. They're telling the whole world their story kind of all the time and very intimate pieces of it. That's unguarded trust. We can't trust everyone.
No, we can't.
But we do need to trust some people. And so knowing who we can trust, who we can't trust, and when we find out someone we thought we could trust is someone we can't, we need to relabel that and figure out, do we keep it? Do we not keep it? And we're definitely not going to go to that level of trust with them. It changes.
Why would we not keep that relationship?
the betrayal could be so deep, and it just may not be something you can continue having in your life, you know, and that's okay. It doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. It just means I'm not willing to risk something like that again.
Right.
Sometimes you can, some people keep them a bit more at a distance. Everyone kind of reacts differently.
Okay. So this is interesting that we got into that tangent today, because that's, you know, very, very much a problem that a lot of people face in their lives. And sometimes that person is their family member.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes very, very difficult if it's your mother,
mm-hmm.
if it's your sister, if it's your uncle that you've been close to, whoever the case may be. It can be very difficult to know how to navigate that.
Absolutely. And you still see them, and then it brings up that painful feeling, and it can be hard and take a lot of time and effort to kind of get to that place. And those are where we would keep a person in our life, because, you know, they're family. They're going to be at outings and get-togethers. How do we keep them in our life and still not feel that hurt every time we're with them?
I think one of the ways you do it, because I've had to do it, is be very superficial in conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That's where you get very guarded with your trust.
There you go. That's that guarded trust. Ooh, I like that. I'm going to write that down. Guarded trust. Okay, so guarded trust is what? Define that.
Well,
explain
when we're
that.
Guarded with our trust, we're careful.
Mm-hmm.
We're not always holding it to ourselves. We do need to trust others. But we're not just throwing it out without being careful about it. We're calculated. We're looking at people, seeing if they have those character traits of being trustworthy. Because that helps us to get through life and helps us build a support system.
Absolutely.
And so if you're that person that, you know, you meet a person and you've told them your whole life story, I always tease, because my sister is one of these people, you know, you meet her and her opening line is her life story in very intimate details. And I'm like, you can't keep doing that.
Why do you tell her that she can't keep doing that?
Well, it's dangerous to let people know that kind of information about you. Maybe it can be used against you, or all kinds of things can happen.
Exactly. But it makes you vulnerable.
Very vulnerable.
To their criticism, right? To their talking, especially in the workplace, let's say. And I've known people like that in the workplace, that they are just talk, and tell too much about their lives. And then you start hearing it whispered around the office.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. The idle gossip of the office is, oh, did you hear blah, 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 blah. And so we can't do that. So if you're the person that's doing that, stop.
Right.
And find those people in your life that you can trust, and talk to that intimate. And then find a new way of talking to people without giving and exposing that intimate, vulnerable part of yourself. It's just getting that conversation more generalized instead of so specific. And absolutely.
And I think part of that is that as you grow older and you've had situations like I described a few minutes ago, you do become more guarded.
You do.
And you do want to. Wow, we're closing in on the hour here.
We honestly,
can you give some sum up here? Some main points, Dr. Angel, you want to make, because as we end this series on navigating life's changes in the seasons of our lives?
Sure. I'll give it a whirl here, wrapping it up. You know, our world is full of change. We are not going to live this life without experiencing change in seasons. Nothing ever remains the same. So we cannot have the bank on the false illusion that it's going to. It's not going to happen. They are unavoidable. So how are we going to handle it? Are you going kicking and screaming, or are you going to go in and let it develop you and refine you and make you that better person?
Right.
Because so much, we can grow so much through those seasons of life. And we are, whatever situation we are in, whatever season we're in, it's temporary.
It is, yes, it's temporary.
You know, so if it's a bad season, it's temporary.
Right.
And if it's a good one, it's temporary. You know, and we
this
can't.
This too shall pass.
True. And we can't just sit and, you know, get ourselves all, you know, bent up over something so temporary, you know, that's temporary.
Right.
We can't continue living in our past. Oh, when we were there, life was great. Life was great. We got to move on, and we got to live in our present and work toward our future.
So stop with the regrets. Mm-hmm. Learn to deal with those. Forgiveness is a huge part. We talk about it so much on this show. Learn to forgive. Doesn't mean you agree with what was done. you let it go. They don't know you anymore. And you take it from there.
And cultivate a support system.
Cultivate a support system that you can trust. Mm-hmm. Guarded trust.
Yes.
This show might be one that you need to listen to a few times. I think it was excellent. And, of course, I always do. But, no, I mean, I think we really got those points across. We'll have a new series starting next week. We're not sure what it might be. It might be a question and answer show. You never know what it might be. And so we look forward to hearing from you always. And you can email us those questions at GoYard2014. That's the year we began the show. GoYard2014@gmail.com. We give you that email address because so many of the questions that come in are very lengthy. So use the email, GoYard2014@gmail.com. Also, we have a website, and go there because our shows have titles there. And it's GoYard2014.org. It's an O-R-G, not a .com. GoYard2014.org. And you can find a lot of our shows over the last 4 years. And always come here to TantalkNetwork.com and go to podcast tab and go down to Go Yard, and you'll get the most recent shows in podcast form. And we got to get out of here. And is there anything else? One last thing you'd like to say?
Life is always changing.
Life is always changing. So make the most of it, right?
Yes.
And learn how to handle it.
Yes.
All the changes in your life. And who are you, by the way?
This has been Dr. Angel.
And it's been Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard tonight. And we will see you next week. Same time, same station. See ya.
Good night.
To the river and make me whole. It's down.